Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. Today, I have Philippe Boussier here with me, and Philippe is the owner and founder of Code Marketing, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in Montreal, Canada. So today, we're going to be chatting a little bit about Philippe's journey of starting and growing his agency, some challenges that he's overcome along the way, and you know how he just continues to bring in more leads and grow his agency. So thank you so much for joining me today, Philippe.
Thanks you, Julia. I'm very happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, really excited to have you here. And to get started, I'd love to know, you know, please share your story about how you got into digital marketing and then how that led you to start your agency.
Yes, it's a very nice question. And sometimes this little background story is always interesting. And I haven't started in a garage, as some people would have thought, or some other companies or founders are doing or saying they have did. But let's say that I started my university path in accountability. Mm-hmm. And after a certain time in accounting, and especially an experience at Deloitte, I figured out that it wasn't really my thing. I love numbers. I love them a lot. But the way it was happening in those in this area was really not the way I was thinking to give the most value or just feel interested by my work. So I finished my university in management. Mm-hmm. Which was still pretty far from anything related to digital marketing.
Yeah.
And I had two first experiences after that in some agencies that were building their own CRM, and they were also building Facebook pages at a time that Facebook pages were widgets, like little websites where we could customize everything. They were working with radio stations. So it was really dynamic, small business. And I started doing some Google ads there, and I found that love for the numbers again in a much more interesting way. And I felt it was like a game, and I felt like I understood the rules around that game. And it worked a lot. And obviously, you have a lot of people on your podcast saying that Google ads worked, like it was really doing a huge difference for clients, especially early in 2010, 2011, 2012. Yeah. So it made a huge difference for the clients at that time, because the competitiveness was much lower. But now it's really intense, and the cost of the CPC are really higher, because there's a lot of people willing to pay for the same keywords, for the same clicks. But at that time, I fell in love with that. But I knew I did not have the correct background. And after 3 months, at that time, I should say that my salary was quite low. I earned like $11 per hour. And after 3 months, I was like, I think I deserve $20 per hour, and I don't want to settle for less. And they said, well, you could get 15. So I left after 3 months.
Right.
But I still have learned that I still have that feeling that I really love digital marketing. So I went for another business who hired me at $15 per hour, but I needed to start somewhere. And I had no proofs there, so I should start at 15. And I was the right arm of the president for a company that was building websites. And again, people listening to that podcast will know that there was a period in time where website builders were being built everywhere. There was a lot of small startups with their own CMS at a time where WordPress was not really scaled yet. So it was a business like that. Some would say that a lot of them were, a lot of them started, but not a, a lot, not a, sorry about that. Not a lot of them reached the finish line. So it was that case. And I saw a lot of things that I was not really sure how good it was or really great for the clients or something like that. And I decided to do a master degree in e-commerce after that. And it just, I had a real fit in that. I really,
interesting.
I really,
so you went to university degree. And studied yeah. e-commerce?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so really cool. I did a master degree in that. So, and after that, we're in 2013. I left Sherbrooke, where I did all my university, all my studies, to go to Montreal. I worked for iWeb Technology. It's a hosting company. Still exists today. And we met with, I would say, one person and a half. We were managing a quite big budget for that time in Google Ads and all around the world, four languages. We had to measure the cost per conversion for the, well, the acquisition cost for a new client, but working with B2B chats and conversations. So it was not really online transactions. It was possible, but it was really a small fragment of the whole new business development. So it helped me really get and drill down into Google Analytics, Google Ads a lot, and tracking. So, and after a few millions invested, we also learned some techniques like the bidding strategies that we can have when we have multiple keywords that are having some overlap in the semantic. So is it better to be dedicated hosting or Microsoft hosting? What happens when someone searches for dedicated Microsoft hosting? Which keyword do we want to trigger? Because the ad that will appear will be different as well. And the landing page as well. So we had to weigh all the different factors going through that conversion. It was really... today, it would sound like, oh, it's easy and a lot of people are doing it and it's true. But back then, it was something quite new, I would say.
Interesting.
And, yeah, so I did a year there. We found I had the occasion to push some really great insights and modify the strategy to get new clients instead of having a flat acquisition target. We had differentiated acquisition cost per country because the profitability was really different. The lifetime value of a client was really different. And we weighted all that into the campaigns, which was not the case when I entered the company. And meanwhile, what happened? Well, that former company I worked with that was working with, let's say, the homemade CMS, had some difficulties. So I met some people that were having with some people that I developed trust with, a good relationship, and they called me and they asked for my help because the company was no longer serving them. It was going to a bankruptcy. So I started building my portfolio of client upon the failure of the other company that I worked with 2 years before. And when I left iWeb Technologies, well, I worked with, I had enough clients to go on my own.
That's interesting.
But after 3 months, I feared that I would not have enough client, would not have enough money. So I had my portfolio of clients, but I searched for an agency experience in Montreal.
Like a part-time job?
No, full-time job, but where I would bring my clients in. Yeah, and it did happen. I worked there for a year and a half. And after that, my portfolio of client grew like three times. And I'm not somebody who's really, I was really hard to manage at that time in my life. I was really like think it was like a little bit my way or the highway, maybe at that time. I learned a lot from that. Since I learned a lot since that moment. Really, really smoother now and more empathetic towards everybody else's situation. So after that, we're in 2016, I have my clients and I left that agency and I'm on my own. And it never stopped since. I contributed to the foundation of another agency. And after a certain time, we decided that it was better to split social media and digital marketing. So I founded Code Marketing with my team and my clients from that split. And that moment happened 5 years and 3 months ago.
Okay. Interesting.
So that's how I was, that's how I went into digital marketing.
That's a really interesting story. And it sounds like the stars were just aligned with, you know, your former employer just going, you know, out of business and then their customers needing someone or their clients needing someone to help with their digital marketing. So
absolutely.
That's amazing. So that's really cool. You know, you have like a base to start your agency. And then, so what was your strategy for bringing in leads as you've grown the agency?
It's really an interesting question because I think that this strategy is really more like part of my personality than it is a really obvious detailed plan in a PowerPoint or something. I'm someone who is really true to his words. Mm-hmm. And I think, and when I meet people, I'm really, I'm truly interested into knowing them. I'm really mm-hmm. curious about knowing people, and it's really sincere. And that sincerity, I think, is something that that helped me build, I would say, relationships that went beyond just client-provider relationship. So those mm-hmm. person that I met early in my career, early in 2010 and 2011, they were referring people to me. The agent, even the agency that I left after only 3 months, I worked with that agency afterward because I helped them a little bit, and I'm always willing to help. So at this moment, it's really the organic referrals that were bringing the new leads. And I also thought of myself as a specialized unit for bigger agencies. So mm-hmm. I reached out to other partners that I met through time and developed real sincere, again, relationships, knowing their strengths, their weaknesses. And at some point I would arrive at a meeting or suggest that I would help them in a certain way that I knew they would require that help. And mm-hmm. those relationships kind of really worked, and they also brought a lot of recurrent business as well. And after that, when you know, you have a clientele that grows bigger, some referrals again, I started to go into into some networking groups. A new one that was really dynamic, it's called Yule Relation, where we value relationship before transaction, and it works fine. It's really, there's really a lot of momentum in that group.
That's cool. I've never heard of that group, but that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, it's a small one, but there are some units growing there. And I think it's really with the true relationships that my whole business development has been made. And yeah. I would say that I'm right now diversifying that approach a little bit, where we're tied to some grant programs from the federal government. So we are reaching out to some clients that we would really enjoy working with because they're in a specialized industry, which could be anything environmentally friendly or anything related to technology or to the food industry. And I'm reaching out to them saying that we can help them and we can have access to subsidies as well. So all those, so everything brought together, now I'm diversifying that, but I mostly relied on my networking and not only aiming for direct clients, but also working with partners who have already a certain set of clients that would fit what we have to offer. And I think it has been really, really win-win for us and our partners along the way.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think just nurturing relationships and trying to help people as best as you can is such a great way to just build your network and create authentic relationships. So what are some ways that you have, you know, nurtured those relationships along the way so that they don't fizzle out?
Yeah, so people that are not really familiar with the highways in Quebec, it takes roughly an hour and 35 minutes from Sherbrooke to Montreal. And I had to do that often. And I would really, during that time when I'm in the car driving, I'm always wondering, who should I call? That I don't know who, it's been a while. I want to hear from them. I want to have some news. And I think that I filled those trip with a lot of small talk, and not small talk in the bad way, but small talk in sense, I know you're a client. I know we're not working together we have not worked together in the last 6 months, but I just want to hear from you. How are you? How are the kids? How's the soccer? How's the hockey? Everything. And sometimes what it does is not only that I know what are their current, let's say, situation, are they living any problems that I cannot solve myself, but I know someone that can help them, or and also it helps them say, hey, I just talked with some people yesterday. I think that, you know, I met that guy and he would really need your services. And I would also update them a lot about some new stuff, the new people in the team, new services that are growing, some new trends. So I think that just calling people and being genuinely interested into having some news is something that makes a huge difference. So this is one way. I was really invested in the operations of the company. I mean, it's still today, I'm not necessarily completely over the business or on the business. I'm still in it as well. So I'm able to help the clients on really quick matters as well, because I know them, their model, I know them well, I know their business. And I think that I become in a certain way a kind of confident or trusted ally into important decisions, even if it's not something that I will build them for, or even if it's not related to marketing necessarily, because I'm interested into so much topics. And I think that I can have a certain amount of leadership regarding, okay, what is going to happen in the next 5 years? And are you living this situation or that situation? Or is your market growing or is your market slowing down? And what would be the best case scenario in that for you? And how can you help yourself in that? So this would be one of the major ways to nurture that relationship outside of the transactional, let's say, part of the relationship.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And I think it's really smart. Just finding that time. And I love that you were using it, you know, in basically dead time, you know, like it's time that you're just driving to work anyway. So figure out a way to be productive. Yeah. During those times, I think that's really cool.
I would say there are two other ways. I had a client yesterday that I called, and I know that it's been more than 12 months since we started discussing, and I think we had like probably 12 meetings, and it's been 3 months since I last heard of them. I sent emails; they did not answer back. I called again and I left a message, and yesterday I called again because he didn't call me back. And then when he answered, because he answered yesterday, well, he put me through the update without me asking. He knew exactly where we were at, and we picked up at the exact place we left at. So I think that a lot of people are also afraid to ensure follow-up. And you did it as well. You know it when you're trying to reach people. Sometimes it's just not the appropriate timing. And if you abandon, then it's not their problem. You abandon. So I try not to abandon and try and be very thorough into my follow-ups to make sure that if they are not interested, well, I will continue until you tell me that you're not interested. And at that point, I will leave you. I will leave you for the next 36 months.
Yeah.
And after 36 months, I will say, hey, it's been a while since I've talked to David. I have an hour and a half of a trip ahead of me. I'll try to call him and have some news.
Yeah.
So it's why I told earlier that it's kind of integrated into my social reflexes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid of doing a follow-up that is not answered.
The follow-up is everything. I think it's so important. And I think if you're able to change the way that you perceive follow-up, I think a lot of people worry about coming across as being annoying or, you know, maybe pestering the person that you're reaching out to. But, you know, if you're able to, you know, look at it, you know, from a way of, you know, I'm able to help this person and I would be doing them a disservice if I don't follow up with them, that's kind of a way to, you know, change your perception of doing follow-ups. Yeah. And also, you know, lead with value. Like maybe like, you know, I came across this resource. I think it might be helpful. Exactly. Or, you know, making an introduction and then, you know, you're staying on their radar. And yeah, I think it's crucial to definitely make sure that you are scheduling those follow-ups into your CRM or whatever you're using to keep track of your clients. Cause yeah, it's so valuable for maintaining those relationships.
Exactly.
Awesome. So Philippe, I'd love to know what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Code Marketing?
I think that there are a few major challenges, but the first one has been to discover that even if I studied in management, you don't necessarily learn how to live management until you're a manager. Mm-hmm. I think early on, I was really like a dedicated specialist, really drilling down into each of his clients and really, really high expectations from the people working with me, which is fine in some ways. It depends how you communicate it. And I think that early in Code Marketing, I was so overwhelmed by work that I worked countless hours, at least 20 over what I should have been working. So when you go into that, let's say, zone of burden in your life, well, you restrain yourself from living fully. You restrain yourself from having a decent, let's say, place to live. You refrain. So you're into so much restrictions and a lot of things in your life because you're putting everything into work. I think that I was not necessarily seeing how I was mistreating me and how it led me to mistreat other people around me, asking them to do the same that I was, let's say, I was doing to me. So at a certain point, I think that I have a lot of energy and I'm kind of hard to get really exhausted. So I was working too much, but at a certain point, it was really not sustainable. And it was also a really huge, how could I say that? It's something that it did not allow me to move into serious relationships as well. So it had a huge impact in many factors, important facets of my life. And I realized that at a certain point, and I changed my perspective of that. And I think that I tried to be more understanding of the people around me and myself and my limits, know my limits and respect those limits and not being afraid of saying no to someone because something is over your limit. And I think that this is the biggest challenge overall, because all the other challenges, I think, are related to that initial one. So when you have issues related to projects where you're over-servicing, it's related to that. When you have a situation when you lose an important asset in your team because he lost confidence because you went over his limits, it's on that as well. So both HR and client challenges were a lot related to that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think there is, you know, there's a time and place to put, you know, the hours into the business. But it's definitely, it's not sustainable. And it's one of those things, you know, for short bursts of time, or, you know, say you set out, you know, this quarter, I'm just going to commit, I'm going to get it done. But like you said, you know, your relationships, you sacrifice your relationships a little bit and the time with your family. And it's not sustainable, and it can definitely lead to burnout as well. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's one of those things, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs, their default is to just, you know, put their head down and work and neglect those parts of their lives. But the way that I try to look at it is, you know, and this is going a little bit deep, but it's like, you know, when I'm like, it's like the end of my life, I'm really old, and I look back, I want to not regret things. So I try to like, I want to, you know, grow an incredibly successful company, but I don't want to sacrifice that time with my family, you know, at the same time. So it's definitely not easy. It's a juggling act trying to fit everything in, but that's kind of how I look at it.
And I think that most of the most important answers are quite deep regarding entrepreneurship. And sometimes we are thinking of, let's say, the challenge would be not having enough leads. Okay, well, it's overall, it's quite first level challenges. It's not that deep. And if you have a problem with bringing in new leads, well, you have probably some related problems that are deeper in that cause that as well. So maybe are just like the way that you are engaging with your clientele is not necessarily as good as it could, and it affects how people are referring you. So the problem in surface is the lead, but deeply is the whole way, the whole service in a sense. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's really well said. All right. Well, we are now going to be moving on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I would say that Outlier from Malcolm Gladwell had a huge impact on me.
Perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
I woke up in the morning roughly between 6:30 and 7. 5 when I'm going to Montreal. I'm giving my cat some food, some love, 2 toasts, one with Nutella and one with peanut butter, an apple, and after that, tea or coffee. And after that, I'm going on in front of the computer and looking at my emails, but a soft routine, I would say. And if there's enough snow, like this morning, I'm going to shovel a little bit.
Yes, I hear you on that one. Okay. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, I really love Simon Sinek. I think it's a really inspiring person. His way of putting humans into performance instead of putting only numbers into performance is really interesting. And I like that.
Perfect. And what is your favorite online tool?
I'd say that I've been used to Google Analytics a lot. It was my favorite one for a long time. I must say that I'm more looking at ChatGPT right now. Not the favorite, not yet favorite as well, but this would be my two favorite tools. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. And then the last question is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Not everything matters.
Interesting.
Would be the simplest way to put it. I could explain more, but would be another topic as well, I think.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Philippe, thank you so much for joining me to be today's guest. I really enjoyed learning about your journey of starting and growing code marketing. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.